And hello, everybody. This is Brother John Rothacker, and it's good to be with you once again on Truth for Today. We're going to do a special series here, beginning tonight, on the fivefold ministry. Now, what do we mean by the fivefold ministry? Well, this is a term that comes out of some scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, where we read about five different types of ministry that the Lord Jesus gave to us after the ascension, after he returned to heaven. So let's begin reading here, and we'll begin in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what it is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting, or the equipping, the word means there, of the saints, for the work of the ministry, unto the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, or it could be translated, into the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, or full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is a tremendous portion of Scripture, and we want to see here that these five ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, have a tremendous importance. Now, we read here such things as we just read, which it's these five ministries are for the equipping, the outfitting, getting the saints equipped, ready for the battle. It's the same word he used where it talks about the strong man that must be bound, and before that he can have his equipment taken from him. Well, this is an equipment that we need to put on. And we learn about that, of course, in the sixth chapter, for instance, where we talk about the whole armor of God that we must put on if we're going to be able to stand and really do battle effectively against the enemy. So it's the equipping of the saints, the functioning, the participating for every member of the body of Christ. These are given, it says, notice, until there's a unity of the faith. We're certainly not there yet, and that's why we need these ministries. In the first part of the chapter, remember that we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's verse 3. But these ministries are given until we come into a unity of the faith. We see here that they're also used for the maturing of the believers, the stabilizing of the believer, so that we're not tossed to and fro. They're given so that there's efficient, practical service. Not that we're going to be carried about and a lot of time and money and effort wasted. They're given so that we will be able to, as it says there, speak the truth in love, or literally truthing in love. That means not just speaking, but acting, living the truth in love. And it's interesting, the word literally means not to hide, the root of the word. And certainly, we're not to be hiding the truth. We're to be living it, sharing it, with everything we have. The ministries are given so that we can be helped to be knit together in love as we mature and work together. And then there'll be growth in the body of Christ, both quantitatively and qualitatively. Growth in love. So these are the purposes of God, and you can see, of course, the tremendous necessity for these five ministries that are given to us here. Now, since we see the importance of these ministries, of course, it would be expected that Satan would always attempt to discredit them, try to invalidate them in some way. And he does this either by false doctrine or persecution or, as we see in the book of Revelation, even murder. And, of course, the early apostles, as we know, were all martyred and gave their lives for the faith. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, we find that the two most important ministries of these five are, first, the apostle, where it says that God has set in the church first apostles. Then, secondarily, it says prophets, thirdly, teachers, and so forth. So these two ministries, primarily apostles and prophets, maybe we can briefly examine how these ministries are discredited to get some idea here and help for you in the future, I'm sure. Some of you, I'm sure, have already been attacked with maybe some of the carnal reasonings of men. So first of all, the carnally minded men will teach that these ministries have been done away with. They will use primarily a couple verses of Scripture to do that, but we want to ask ourselves, are there any statements in Scripture that these ministries were to be done away with in the after a short time in the beginning of the early church? And, of course, there are no statements to that effect. Then we might ask ourselves, are there any statements that these ministries were to continue in the church, throughout the church age? And, of course, we find, yes, there are, because the one scriptures we just read here would indicate that these scriptures are saying that the fivefold ministry was to continue until we come to maturity, all of us, till we come to a unity of the faith. And, of course, we're not there by a long shot, and it's because these ministries are not functioning. Let's go into maybe a scripture here that is sometimes used to discredit these ministries, and that is a resting of some verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here we find these verses where it tells us about love and that love is going to stay, but there's tongues, it says, they're going to cease. Prophecy shall be done away with or shall be completed, and the knowledge shall vanish or be done away with. And then it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And that's falsely interpreted to mean, well, that's the canon of Scripture. When the Scriptures were complete, then there was no need anymore for the apostles and the miraculous gifts. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. These are given miraculous sign gifts to validate Scripture, to validate what is preached. And certainly we can see out here today in a very humanistic, false, scientifically oriented society, we need the validation of Scripture as being the Word of God to the heathen as much as we ever have, if not more. And as we look at these verses of Scripture, we can more accurately understand what Paul was really saying. And that is that he's talking about when Jesus returns and we see him face to face, we'll no longer need these gifts that give us partial revelation of Christ and of truth. Let's read these verses here as we go on. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, or as looking in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So here we see that it's talking about when we see Christ, when we see him face to face, not when the scriptures are complete, but when the Lord Jesus returns. So it's very important that these five ministries are to continue. And in fact, they have through the ages, and we can see that. And so let's maybe look at these ministries particularly one by one and get a more accurate view of what they really are talking about. First, let us look at apostles. The Greek word is apostolos. It means a messenger, one sent forth with orders. That's one under authority. And, of course, Jesus is the chief apostle listed in the Scripture in Hebrews 3:1. And there we find, of course, he's the apostle. We're told to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. And I often think of the centurion, as we read about in Matthew 8:9, who recognized the authority of Christ. He said, I also am a man under authority, just speak the word, and my servant's going to be healed. You don't even have to come to my house. And people that are in authority recognize authority. They are used to it. It's one of the things that I think makes going to the service a very worthwhile experience for many of us. We learn authority. We learn to take orders. And, of course, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of authority where Jesus Christ rules supreme and gives command and sets down the laws. And there are military terms, in fact, used in the Scripture for his rule and the rule in the church. Now, looking at this ministry of apostle then, we quoted earlier a scripture here in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul is writing first about the different manifestations of the Spirit, the pneumatika, commonly called the gifts of the Spirit, which are nine. And then after explaining about us being baptized by the Lord Jesus into the body, and that we're all important, we're all members one of another, then he says in verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, help, governments, diversities of tongues, and so forth. Now he says not all are apostles, not all are prophets, are they? But these ministries are set in the church by the Lord Jesus. This is what we saw in Ephesians 4, that he gave these ministries. These are not ministries that are devised by man. As Paul said, he wasn't called of man, but he was called of Jesus Christ. And Jesus still does this today, as we can look, for instance, in the lives of maybe a man like Timothy, Titus, as examples where it talks about you receive these gifts by the laying on of hands of the presbytery through prophetic utterance. Jesus is still speaking today, and he does so through the Holy Spirit, through the laying on of hands and prophecy. Men are called directly into these ministries. They can be called Of course, as prophets in the Old Testament, Christ comes to them personally and calls them as prophets. But in the New Testament realm, when we have the gifts and ministries functioning, these would normally come through the ministry of the laying on of hands and prophecy. Now, another aspect of these ministries, we'll go back into the book of Ephesians there. And in chapter 2, we read that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 3, we said we found that there's no other foundation than any man can lay which is Jesus Christ. This is the bedrock of our faith, is the Lord Jesus himself. But here we're talking about a foundation where Jesus is the chief cornerstone, but it is the apostles and prophets being the foundation. And of course, as you study the teachings of Paul, Peter, John, James, these other apostles, you are building your life on them and their teachings as they've revealed Christ to us. And so they are the foundation. And of course, today we have these same ministries that as we receive from them, we are building our lives as living stones on them as they are built on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the emphasis here is that they are foundational. These two ministries of apostles and prophets are very basic and the foundation of our faith if we're going to be built properly on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why, of course, these ministries are so persecuted. And we find statements to that effect, for instance, over here in Revelation chapter 18. This is yet future, another scripture proving the validity of these ministries today. This is going to be taking place during the tribulation, where we read a statement in Revelation 18:20, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy saints, or ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her," speaking of Babylon the Great. So how could they be done away with if these ministries are going to be persecuted yet in a future time to where we are even at this point? Now, false Christianity, as I say, which is Babylon, is going to persecute these ministries, and even men that are born again but are carnal are only going to yield to these ministries as they are, to the degree they're yielded to the Lord. To the degree that men are involved in Babylonish ways, of course, that to that degree they're going to libel and resist the ministry of apostles and prophets, which are foundational to setting the church in proper order and seeing that we build the body of Christ in a spiritual way and not a carnal way, according to the Word of God and not according to the traditions of men. Now, this is brought out very plainly here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, where we see Paul using himself and Apollos. Apollos is another apostle we'll see in some other scriptures identified as such. He's using himself and Apollos as examples of planters. They're planting the church. Now, of course, what is a church planter? Are we talking about planting a congregation? No, we don't see that in Scripture. We don't see that example or statement given in Scripture of these ministries. But we do see that they're planting individual believers in Christ, in his faith, in his love. Let's look, for instance, maybe at that statement. So you'll see that here over here in Colossians. I leaf over to Colossians chapter 2. And we read here in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. See, we're rooted, that means planted, and built up in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's supreme. The work of planting the church, the body of Christ, is in Christ. In the same book, Colossians chapter 23, chapter 1, verse 23, it says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which ye was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Here he's talking about grounded or planted again, and settled in the faith. And then let's maybe leaf back over here into Philippians or Ephesians chapter 3. And here we read that, which is a tremendous prayer here, actually, that Paul is giving. And he says that he, the Lord Jesus, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So it's necessary that we plant believers in his love if we're going to experience here what it says, the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ. Now back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read here Paul uses different pictures for the body of Christ. He does this throughout his writings. And here we find, among other things, that the body of Christ is pictured as a building. We saw elsewhere that it's pictured as a bride or a husbandry and so forth. We've gone through many of those in it's available in our teachings on the church, the different pictures that Paul gives to us. But here, I'd like to maybe take a point where he's saying that we are God's building, God's house. And he teaches here that it's important how we build this house, that many men are going to build on Christ, which he says is the foundation, but they're not going to build properly. And so they're going to suffer loss, yet they themselves will be saved. Now, we're talking about not false ministers here. We're talking about men of God that are called of God, yet they're not building according to the pattern. They're not building according to the Scriptures. They're building according to the traditions of men, their own reasonings, their own carnal imaginations. And Paul is saying here, we're all going to be judged, and the fire is going to try every man's work, and if we build with gold, silver, precious jewels, we're going to get a reward. But if we're not building properly, wood, hay, and stubble, as he calls it, we're going to suffer loss, yet we ourselves are going to be saved. Now, this is very important to see, because not only you see these men are going to suffer loss that build improperly, but if we support them in what they're doing, then we're not going to get the rewards that we should get. We're going to suffer loss. And, of course, we don't want to do that, do we? We want to make sure that what we're building is of God, building in God's way. So it's very important that we have these foundational ministries. And Paul says here that it is building the building of God, that he was a wise master builder. The Greek word there, architectron, which where we get our word architect, maybe better translated an architectural superintendent of construction. He's not someone that's just an architect that draws plans. You see, Paul by the Holy Spirit, got the plans from God. But he took the plans of God, the Word of God, the revelations that he got from God, and built accordingly. Remember, Moses is commended to build for his building. And he was to build according to everything he'd saw in the holy mountain as he'd gone up there, according to the exact detail of the revelations that he'd gotten. The problem today is too many men haven't gone up to a holy mountain and sought the Lord and got his plans. We've just gone to man's Bible schools, man's seminaries, and we built according to the plans of man. And we're not building a house like God wanted at all, in many cases. See, God's house is, could be maybe more likened to an armory, where we're producing soldiers, soldiers of the cross. Too many times what we're producing is maybe weekend warriors, sunshine Christians, Sunday morning saints. People that are just taking it easy. Too many times, instead of an armory to produce soldiers, you might say it's just a Christian retreat center where we can come and be entertained, perhaps, and retreat on Sunday from our involvements in the world. But we're really to build the house of God. And as in the house of God, there would be many rooms that we would be using to equip the saints. There might be a room, you see, where you'd learn about the helmet of salvation, and another time where you'd gather and learn about how to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and use it effectively and efficiently. There's many things that we should be doing in the ministry to equip the saints for their ministry. But unfortunately, I don't believe this is being done adequately, and as we look around, we can see this, can't we? We need to be teaching how to gird one another with truth, the truth of God's Word, separated from all the traditions of men, how to put on that breastplate of faith and righteousness and love. Certainly, a room where we're fitted out with our gospel boots, where we can really get out and share the gospel, shed the traditions of men and the things of the world. So let's press on. So these scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 3 tell us the tremendous importance of a building according to the pattern that God has given. And the apostles are wise superintendents of construction. They have the plans. They know how to build their foundation layers. So if we want to be built properly on Jesus Christ, it's absolutely essential that we understand these ministries. Well, we're going to have some more for you, but this is all we've got on this half hour, so we're going to have to say goodbye. If you'd like to write to us, you may. Our address is John Rothacker Ministries, Box 3219, Columbus, Ohio, 43210. So until we meet again, have a good day in the Lord Jesus.